Now then, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Apologize for being late. I just a little bit late tonight. I gave the others a chance to get ready for service, and they took just a little bit longer than usual. Chapter 25, reading at the first verse. I'd like to read just a little bit to you, and then after this we're going to talk to you about the things of God. You know, in the day that we're living in, a lot of things seem so important. Many things seem important in the day we're living in. It seems important to have a nice automobile. It seems of the greatest of importance to have a nice home. It seems so important that we pay our bills and have a good name, and that we have so many other things in life, that the children have an education, that we have the needed prestige that we need. All of these things seems needful. But when Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha, he said to Martha, when she complained about the sister not helping her with the housework, Jesus said, "Martha, thou art cumbered about a lot of things, but Mary has chosen the better part, that which shall not be taken away from her." And so then we see that all of these things which seem to be so important is not important at all, comparatively speaking, when we think about the Word of God. The thing that is important is your soul and your soul's welfare. And unless we are altogether surrendered to God and His Spirit and His way of life and altogether God-conscious, then we are failing our own soul and failing those that are around us. So then, to be spiritually minded and to esteem the soul of greatest importance is the real way to do things. That's why that I spend my entire life thinking upon the Word of God, thinking upon the things of God. For many years, I've spent my entire life thinking upon the Word of God, thinking upon the greatness of God, and thinking upon the things of God, and thinking upon heaven, and how that I could reach humanity, and how that I could help humanity. Because all of the rest of the world is not important, because all of that's going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. And I want to abide forever, don't you? I want to do, how would you like to abide forever? Let me see your hand. I want to abide forever. I want to live forever. And so then the only way to do that is to be spiritual. Be spiritual. We should be spiritual. If we are to excel in God, we must be spiritual. And so then we want to be spiritual. I want to read from the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew's and maybe discuss a few things that might help you to believe that I am right in saying what I say. The 25th chapter of the book of Matthew's, the first verse, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After which came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now I'd like to back up here to verse 10. And I'd like to read just a little more of that verse. It said, "In while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." I'd like to think just a little bit on this passage of Scripture, they that were ready. I'd like to just think for a few minutes on they that were ready. It says they that were ready went in to be with him. Now to me, this obviously shows that God isn't going to wait. Have you agree with me? This shows that God isn't going to wait. Because the Bible says, they that were ready. He's not going to wait for us to get ready. But it said they that were ready. Already waiting for God. They that were ready. The Bible said they went in to be with him. Now that I can pick up your spirits today and tell that numbers of you are not ready. I can tell that you're not ready. See, you're not ready. Now, I know that you're religious, and I know you're at church, and I know you're here with me. And I'm grateful for your attendance, but I can tell that you are not ready. But the Bible said, at that cry, they that were ready went in to be with him. It is important that every day, every hour, every moment, every second, that we continually check our hearts, examine our lives, and see if we are anchored in the faith of Jesus Christ, that we be ready at the very hour that Christ calls us. Are we ready? And it said, and they that were ready went in to be with him. So then it is important that we be ready. It takes more than just going to church to be ready. You might belong to some religious organization, but that doesn't mean that you're ready. You might attend church every time the church door opens, but that doesn't mean that you're ready. You might be one of the most religious people in the world, but that doesn't mean that you are ready. The only way that you can be ready is to be born again of the Spirit of the living God. If you've never been born again, then you're not ready. You've got to be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. If there must be a spiritual birth. Why did Jesus say this to Nicodemus? Because if you're not born again, you're not part of the kingdom of God. See, you can't join a church and get into the kingdom of God. You can't join some society. You can't get well acquainted with a preacher and be in the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And the only way to get into the kingdom of God is to be born into the kingdom of God. For he that is born of spirit, he is spirit. And God is a spirit, and God's kingdom is spirit. And for me to be part of a spiritual world, I must be a spirit. I must be born of the Spirit. See, the Bible tells us that God makes his angels spirits. And in heaven we are all as the angels, which we are means that we are spirits. Is that right? On one occasion they forbidden the little children. They said, the little children can't come to him. He's too busy. But he said, forbid the little children not. Let them come unto me. And he said, and he took them on his knee. And he began to tell the people about the little children. And he said, you see this little child? He said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, lest you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And so then, this little child sitting on his knee, Jesus illustrated with him and told them, said, this little child's angel, his spirit, his angel, doth always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Which means to us that a little child that has never grown up, never come to maturity, never come to the age of accountability, that little child is still in heaven with God. It has never entered into man's realm. It has never entered into man's world. Even though its little body's in this world, yet its spirit is not in this world. But its spirit is before God. Its angel is before God. Ever beholding the face of the heavenly Father. Innocent. And at any time that that little angel departs from that little body, it's automatically with God. It doesn't have to be born again. It doesn't have to do anything because it's never come into this world. It has to come to the age of accountability before God requires it that it be born again. You understand what I'm saying? And such are they that are born to the kingdom of God. When we are born into the kingdom of God, we are then little children. We are born into the kingdom of God, and there is no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle of any kind on our lives. For we are little innocent children that do not understand anything. We don't even know what to pray for. The Bible said the Spirit searching the heart maketh intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered, knowing the mind of the Spirit. But we are dear children to God, little children to God, and we are under tutors until the time appointed to the Father, which the old Jewish ritualistic was the bar mitzvah. At a certain age, about 13 or more, they were then brought out before the people, the Jewish people, the Jewish children, having been sons all the time, brought out before the Jewish people. And there, as they were placed before the Jewish people, they were declared to be a son in the presence of all the people. That is, they were coming into sonship. God tells us that we're without spot, without wrinkle. God has completely took away every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, until the day of the bar mitzvah, which is the redemption of our body. This body is dead, hid with Christ in God. There is no blemishes to it. There is no spots to it. And we are free from sin and free from condemnation until the day that God brings about the redemption of the body. God tells us that they that were ready, they that had been born again, they that had followed Christ, they that had walked in the Spirit and not fulfilled the lust of the flesh, they who had been born again, they were ready. When did this great thing happen? The Bible said it was at the midnight hour. In the end time,
The Scriptures tells us that there will be a great crisis, a great troubling, marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, frolic, wicked men waxing worse and worse, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that at the end time that men would be heady and high-minded. But at that very time there would come a great darkness over the earth. That gross darkness would cover the people. What does God mean when He says gross darkness will cover the people? It means that an intellectual system of Antichrist, an intellectual power will overshadow the people's mind. That intellectual power, that reasoning, everything will be an intellectual demand. You will be pressed into the issues of life. You will be pressed into the Antichrist system. And the Bible said, work while it's day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. When that system comes into the world, you can't work for God anymore, because the system will kill you. They'll take your life and think that they do God's service. They'll be religious. See, when is this thing coming? At the midnight cry. At the very darkest hour, when gross darkness covers the people. But yet we're told in the end time that great light is sprang up to the people. For it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. And the light is to be God's Word. It's to be God's revelation. It's to be God's Spirit. Did you know that the church world today is almost altogether without God's Spirit? A lot of people say, oh, Brother Pike, I feel the Spirit of God every day. I dance and shout and holler and leap and jump. That doesn't mean you got God's Spirit. God's Spirit is the Word. You must have the Word in your life. In the beginning was God. God was the Word. God's still the Word. It doesn't matter about your emotions and your experiences. It's whether or not you're born of the Word, and whether or not you're indoctrinated with the Word, and whether or not you're living the Word and walking in the Word. Jesus said, I'm the Word. He that abideth in me abideth in the Word. Let him ask what he will, and I'll do it. If my words abide in you and you abide in the Word, just say what you will. He said, and I'll do it for you. So then at the midnight cry, the Bible said they were without the oil. Without the oil. Did you know that today they are without the oil? Did you know that? There is church programs. There's almost everything that can be made mention of in the church. But the one thing they do not have in the church is the Word of God. They don't have the Word of God in the church. Are you listening? They don't have the Word of God in the church today. The Bible said in the last days there will be a famine for the hearing of the Word. There will be a great famine. People will run to and fro from sea to sea, seeking after signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of things. They will be indoctrinated with doctrines of devils. But there won't be any Word in the church. The Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. If we don't have the Word, we don't have faith. You say, well, I believe, Brother Pike. What do you believe? Somebody said, well, I just believe everything, everything. What do you believe? There is but one thing that gives faith. That's the Word of God. You've got to have faith in the Word of God. Anything you believe outside of the Word of God is not faith. You might believe in what your grandmother had. You might believe in what your mother told you. You might believe in what your dad told you. But anything outside of the Word is not faith. It's going to take faith in the Word of God. And you can't have faith in the Word of God if the preacher don't preach the Word of God. You need a ministry that will preach the Word of God. Paul didn't say go preach anything but the Word. Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, with all authority. He said, and preach the Word. What is the Word? The Word is God. The Word is the Spirit. What is the all? The Spirit. At the midnight cry, they didn't have any Spirit. They had doctrines. They had disciplines. They had ideas. They had programs. They had missionary programs. They had evangelistic programs. They had everything. And he said, they're lukewarm. Lukewarm, didn't he say that? Laodicea means lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They said that we're rich and we don't need anything. We've got a big cathedral. We've got money. We've got programs. We've got missionaries. But they didn't have the Word. Come on now. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that they don't have the Bible? Listen, he said he would write the Word of God, the table of laws upon my heart. Is that right? I will take out of you the heart of stone and write my laws upon the table of your heart and put in you the heart of flesh, a tender heart. Get out the heart of stone. Place a heart of flesh within you. In other words, I'll do away with the law and the letter that killeth. I'll do away with that which brought you under condemnation from the days of Moses. I'll do away with the tree of knowledge that magnifies your sins and your shortcomings. And I'll put grace within you, and I'll put tenderness within you. But I can only do it by the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. It's still God. To every generation, a thousand generations, it's still God. So then he said, I'll bring the Word to you. Now, it said at the midnight cry, they didn't have any oil. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that means they didn't have any Spirit. I agree with you. But what is the Spirit? Jesus said, my words are Spirit, and they are life. They didn't have any Spirit, somebody said. Let me tell you something. If that's right, in the terms that you're using it, if that's right, then we're having the greatest revival we ever had in the history of the world. People are shouting and jumping and hooping and hollering and running in football games and in church and everywhere else. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, and all of them is starting to speak in tongues through the full gospel businessmen and all these other things. So then, if that means the Spirit, then that means that everybody's got the Spirit. Every hypocrite, murderer, liar, cheat, drunkard, robber, everybody's got it. But folks, they don't live according to the Word. They've got a Spirit, but not God's Spirit. God's Spirit is the Word Spirit. Now listen, what did the Bible say? He said, if these men had stood in my presence, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. Why is it the people haven't turned from their sins? What do you mean, sin, Brother Pike? I mean from the love of money, from the love of automobiles, for the love of cars, for the love of homes, for the love of flesh, for the love of sex. Why is it they're still out there in the football games, in the television parties? Why are they frolicking up and down the beach in the way that they're dressed today? If those preachers that have stood in my presence, they would have told them about these things and caused them to have departed from their sins. Why is there hatred and backbiting and covetousness? Why is there malice and anger and temper? Why? Why is it some of you here whom I don't care to call out and embarrass you is sitting here today trying to figure out in your mind what your potion and part is? Resenting the things that the preacher says because you don't feel like you got enough money on this end of it. Come on. I'm not talking about my co-workers. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. The woman sitting right here in the midst right now, she's so displeased over the whole situation, she don't know what to do. And all of it centers around her covetousness and money. Why is that? See, the Word of God will get you away from demons and devils. It'll take you away from your own natural understanding. And folks, it'll make you live right. It'll make you do right. Hallelujah. It'll put the fear of God in you. You love Jesus? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Like a couple was in here last night. Came in here last night and sit along over here. I told the people, I said, there's some evil spirits that come in here. Did I say that last night? And I said, watch when I start preaching the gospel and see if they don't get up and leave from out of here. They got up and left. And I said something about it. After service, the man came back to where I was and began to talk with me. And said, you hurt my girlfriend's feelings. I said, I did. He said, you hurt her feelings. She may never come to church anymore. All right, now listen. Said, we were planning to come back in. I said, but you didn't come back in, did you? Said, no. I said, to begin with, the girl wasn't dressed right to be in the house of God. I said, nobody ought to even come into the presence of God dressed like that. I said, that's the first wrong. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you married? And that really turned him for a loop. He said, I wish you hadn't asked me that. I said, are you with your wife? And he looked at me. And then as I pressed him, he broke down and he said, I'll have to confess. She was a girl I picked up. I brought her to church and my wife and little baby sitting at home. Said, I'm a backslider from a Pentecostal church, and my wife loves the Lord, and she goes to church and tries to help out at church. and said, I was over here with that woman. Does that prove that it was the Spirit? I said it was the Spirit standing in the midst of us. An evil spirit. And it showed its colors. Now, before he left, he was under conviction and didn't want to reprove anybody. He was wanting to get right with God. He said, preacher, you better pray for me. I said, Satan's trying to kill you. I said, you better get straight now. You love Jesus? How do you love Jesus? All right, it's a midnight cry. They didn't have the oil. They didn't have the Word of God. What we need is the Word, folks. We need to repent of our sins, clean up our lives, be holy, be clean and upright before God. If you're not living a holy life, let's live a holy life. Being spiritual isn't hollering and shouting, but being spiritual is conforming to the Word of the living God. Is that right? Hallelujah. The prophets would come into town and say, thus saith the Lord. There wasn't no shout. There wasn't no nothing. Fear fell over the city. But brother, it was God's word. And it brought results. When Joshua looked up at the moon, he didn't holler. He didn't shout. He didn't do nothing. He just said to the sun and moon, stand still. And it happened. It happened. You understand what I'm saying? Now I like to shout, run, jump, holler, and have a good time. I do. But I tell you what, I love to see people live according to the Word of God. As far as I'm concerned, you can put all the shouting out the door, all the hollering, all the jumping, all the demonstration and everything else, and get God's Word in the church. And I feel like things will be all right. Can you say hallelujah? All right. Now, so then it's God's Word. What does Orlando, Florida need? God's Word. What does Miss America need? God's Word. What does Germany need? God's Word. We was over in Sweden not too long ago. What did Sweden need? God's Word. Hallelujah. So then at the midnight cry. Now listen. At the midnight cry, they all were asleep. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, not the Church of God. Not the Pentecostal Holiness. Not the UPC. Somebody said, not the Baptists. Could be the Methodists, but not the Baptists. Come on now. But my Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them were asleep. The Church of God was asleep. The Baptists were asleep. And the Methodists were asleep. And the UPC asleep. All of them were asleep. Come on. That's what the Bible said. It said all of the virgins slumbered and slept. Didn't they do it? Isn't that exactly where the world is today? Look at the church world. You can't tell the Pentecostal church from any other people. Is that right? Why, they dress like the world. They out in pedal pushes and pants and shorty shorts and everything else. Bathing suits and whatnot. They don't dress like a lady anymore. Somebody said dressing ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the Word of God. And the Bible said preach the Word. And the Word said dresses becometh holiness. That don't become holiness. You understand what I'm saying? So then what does the church need? All of them needs a good dose of holiness. Hallelujah. They don't need any more church members. They got plenty of church members. They don't need to increase the tithes and the missionary outreach. They need to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And this charismatic move that's going through the land, I know there's some holy people mixed up in it, but that's the move of the devil. Somebody said, don't you dare say it. I've already said it. I've already said it. It's a move of the devil. There's sex perverts mixed up in that. There's robbers and thieves and crooked businessmen and everything else that's mixed up in it. They're leaping and jumping and praying for the sick and speaking in tongues and filling up the church. But that don't prove nothing. Somebody said, if all them people are wrong, then where are we? We're with the little flock. Where are you? If all of them are wrong, we're with the little flock. Noah's family was the little flock. Is that right? Somebody said them teeming thousands out there and all of them millions of people getting saved. Don't you lie against the truth. Ain't no millions getting saved out there. Hallelujah. There ain't no millions getting saved out there. A bunch of tent men running around like a bunch of playboys trying to pay on their Thunderbirds and Cadillacs. Trying to bleed the people and sell everything from shoestrings to holy water. And the people love to have it so. Push them down and shove them down and run them across the ramp like a bunch of cattle. Come on. Praise God. You don't run God's people across a ramp and shove them down and throw a sheet over them. Somebody said, well, what they do, they pass out every time they touch them. Yeah, like one that tried to push my wife down. He tried his best to push her down and she wouldn't push down. She wasn't in passing out kind. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, don't you believe God just knocked people out? I've never read about it in the Bible. Read where the devil done that. Took the little boy and cast him out, or cast him down into the fire. I read where the Bible said the Spirit of God carried a man out of the Spirit. Amen. On numerous occasions. But let me tell you, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? When them people come across this ramp, that's God's bride. You don't shove God's bride around. You don't kick God's bride around. You don't bleed her every dollar that she's got. You treat her like a lady. She's called the elect lady. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So it's a midnight cry that we're having trouble. What kind of trouble was they having? Tent revivals. Come on. Television programs. Radio programs. Amen. Having problems. At the midnight cry, they were having problems. What kind of problems was they having? Too many in the church. Oh, now somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You know we ought to get all we can. That's right. But that wasn't the way God did it. Gideon said, we're going to fight a battle. Let's get all we can. God let him go ahead. And God said, Gideon, there's too many. Too many. All them ain't holiest folks. Come on. All of them just called to act like holiest folks. That don't mean they're holiest folks. Somebody said, what church do you belong to? The church of the firstborn. What one do you belong to? Come on. Somebody said, well, what are you? I'm a Christian. What are you? Said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Is that right? Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't belong to any of them. I can talk about all of them. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. All right, so then we're not talking against the church, because the church is a holy thing, an elect lady without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Precious and elect in God's sight. But I'm talking about the denominational system of this world, the Babylonian captivity that took all the life out of God's people. They said to David, them said, sing us a song. David said, we can't sing any songs. We've hung our harps on the willows. You know what willows mean? Weep, the weeping willow. We've hung all our harps on the willows. All we know how to do is fast and pray and weep before God until the day of our deliverance. You can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange country now, can you? That's why you need to come back home. You're prodigal. See, you need to come back home. Get out of the hog pens. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you're calling my church a hog pen? You mean to tell me that in your thoughts you associate your church with a hog pen? You say, well, of course not. Then why would you think I'd call your church a hog pen? You ought to be ashamed to even think of it like that. Now then, what did the prodigal need to do? Get up out of the hog pen and come home. Isn't that right? The Bible said the swine goes back to the wallowing in the mire, and the dog goes back to the vomit. But get up out of the hog pen and come back to the Father's house. Said the prodigal would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But all of a sudden he remembered his Father's house. And he said, hallelujah. There's enough in my Father's house to spare. And here I am out in the hog pens of the world. Hallelujah. You know, we've got another problem. Let that old prodigal come home. Just as quick as he comes home, everybody gets upset at him. Come on now. Amen. He wallowed in the hog pen, and every time he comes home to try to do something, somebody will say, aha, I remember who you are. The father remembered who he was too. He remembered he was the son. Isn't that right? Come on. He might have got dirty, but he was still a son. Isn't that right? You put a little sheep down in the mire with the hogs, and he's still a little sheep. He may be dirty. He may get more mud on him than the pigs got. But, brother, his nature is still a sheep, and you get him out, and you wash him up, and he'll say, nah, just tender and gentle. Is that right? But you can wash that old hog and put a ribbon around his neck, and he'll grunt, won't he? Always got the grunts, isn't that right? Sure. Never satisfied unless he's bubbling his nose and slop. Come on. You say, who said all that? Jesus. Jesus said the sow goes back to the wallowing in the mire, and the dog goes back to lick his vomit. At the midnight cry, they were all asleep. All of them was asleep. Who was asleep? The Baptist. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I belong to the Baptist church. Well, the Methodist was too. So you still got company, and the Pentecostals was too. Amen. And the Catholics was, and the UPCs. And what made it so bad, the non-denominations was too. Come on. All of them were asleep at the midnight cry. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm not asleep. Then you're not a virgin. It said all the virgins were asleep at the midnight cry. They slumbered and they slept until all of a sudden the scream went out and said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise up, wake up. Trim your lamps and go out to meet him. I say, if all of them was asleep, who was the one that declared that? The watchman's on the wall. See, in the Old Testament, the watchman's on the wall, sat there and watched for the enemy. And the Bible said that as they watched for the enemy, that they did not allow anything to come near those walls. Is that right? They watched for your soul. He said, I set upon your walls watchmen, preachers, real God-men. They're not asleep. And he said, they will never hold their peace. They cry to God day and night. And God says, watchmen, part of the night. And he holds them accountable. At the midnight cry, the watchman said, wake up. Wake up, Zion, and put on your lovely garments. Behold, the bridegroom is here. Awake from your slumber. And some of them woke up and shook themselves. And one, no doubt, said to the other, said, wake up, wake up. Behold, the bridegroom's here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of them probably jumped up out of bed and said, hallelujah. And that woke the whole house up. You understand what I'm saying? Putting it in terms to where you can understand what God's trying to tell us. Awake, Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, and he'll give you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. So then they awoke at the midnight cry. All of them woke up at the midnight cry. They were awake. But see, all of a sudden, some said, are you sure? Is that the bridegroom? Yep, that's him. Some said, but look, I'm out of oil. I can't get my lamp lit up. Said, how about you just sharing a little with me? Said, no, I ain't taking no chance. Hallelujah. Come on now, them real Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal, God-loving people. They've got some oil in their lamp. The devil's put them to sleep. But I want you to know they're going to wake up, and they've got the Holy Ghost when they wake up. And all of the world's going to run after it. The charismatics is going to run after it. But they're not going to get it. All of them's going to run over there, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecost. All of them's going to run after it. And they're going to take it after them, that little group of people. And they're going to say, look, we've heard about this Holy Ghost. We didn't think there's nothing to it, but we've changed our mind. Hallelujah. How about you praying and talking with us and coming over to our church? No. Too late now. Just got enough for myself. Hallelujah. Ain't that right? Used to, when you had a revival, somebody come to the altar, 15 saints of God would swarm around them. And they prayed at midnight till they prayed them through. But tonight you can have 15 around the altar and can't get one saint of God to pray with them. What is it? They got just enough for themselves. See, the darkness is closed in. Everything's closed in around them. They just got enough for themselves. They can't hardly make it themselves anymore. You love Jesus? And all them foolish virgins, they rose up and they said, look, we're church members just like your church member. Come on now. You let me preach at the church of God and I'll let you preach at the Baptist. Come on. But don't let them evangelists in now. Don't let them in. But you come and preach at my church and I'll preach at your church and we'll preach at their church and they preach at our church. Come on. But let's don't take no chance of losing our church members now. You keep your church members, I'll keep my church members because I know how much I get and you know how much you get. Every man look to his own quarter for his own gain. Amen. But the Bible said they was asleep. And there came a midnight cry. And that cry said, awake, for behold, the bridegroom cometh. Now listen to this. There must have been a moment of preparation somewhere. Because he said, awake and prepare yourself, for the bridegroom cometh. And the Bible said, while they went to prepare themselves, the bridegroom came. And they were taken away. And the rest was left. And the others begin to run to and fro. Amen. Somebody said, I'll go to the Baptist church and get it. But they got there and it was all out. Said, I'll go to the Methodist church and get it. They got there and it was all out. Said, I'll run down to the Pentecostal and I'll get it over there. But it was all out. Then all of them together said, let's run over to the Catholic church. Sure, the Pope's got something. They got there and he was all out. Amen. But there was a little group of people that loved Jesus Christ. There was a little group of people that had been forced into the apostasy of this life. They had been crowded out. They'd been told that they were old fogies. They'd been told everything until they were pressed so that they didn't know what to do. They'd put the damper on them and everything and worshiping God. But the Bible said at the midnight cry, God began to shake the thing. When Peter was in jail at midnight, that angel came down there and grabbed them bars and began to shake the building. And all of a sudden, the doors flew open. When Paul was over there in the jailhouse, the angel of God came down there and began to shake the foundation of the building. And the doors flew open. The chains come off. Hallelujah. I believe it's about time for the doors to open and the chains to come off. Amen. We've been a slave to the devil long enough. Don't you think so? We've been a prisoner to Satan long enough. But it's time we serve God. Hallelujah. God said, Moses, go down in Egypt. Turn my people loose. Tell Pharaoh to let him go. Tired of him being in bondage down there. I want him to come out and worship me. Hallelujah. And Moses went down there and said, Pharaoh, you're going to have to turn these folks loose. He said, who? Who told you to tell me that? Moses said, I am. Come on now, that's the way God works. See, if you're a minister of God and you go down there and tell the devil something, you don't go down there and say, you know, God said such and such and such and such. You go down there and you say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. God said for me to heal the sick. I am. It's present. Not you that speak, but God that's speaking from within you. We're the image of the living God. God is on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And when I speak, it's the I am speaking and not me speaking. Said, who told you to come down here? Moses said, I am sent me. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, the devil ran up to him and said, who are you? He said, I am. I am. I am what? I am the resurrection. Come on. What are you? I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the truth. I am the way. I am. Hallelujah. I am. I am is here. You understand what it's saying? So then at the midnight cry, they were all asleep. But they awoke, and the Bible said they that were ready went into the marriage supper. Now listen, folks. There is a marriage supper that's about to take place. I had a vision in Cincinnati, Ohio, numbers of years ago. I'd been fasting and praying and seeking God, and my little family had been fasting and seeking God. The third time we won Brother Taylor over the gospel. And I had a vision, and in this vision I looked, and a long supper table was out before me. And on this supper table, there was all kinds of beautiful dishes set so beautiful, fit for a king. And as I looked and off in the distance, there came carpenters and plumbers and electricians and all kinds of tired workers. And it looked like they're just coming down out of the edges of the earth or the edges of heaven. Just coming in like birds from everywhere. And I looked over here and there's a great big pot of porridge. And I looked over here and there's a great big pot of milk. And mine was such a big thing. Maybe the milk bowl was about a third as big as this platform. And the porridge bowl was about half as big as this platform. I remembered it was so great, so big. And the Lord said to me, this porridge and this milk must be served upon that table to those hungry people. And I said, God, how can I do it? And I run over there by myself and I pulled on the milk. And I spilled some of it. And the Lord said, you'll pay for that. And I did. See? You understand what I'm saying? God was getting the supper ready. He had a plan. He had a program. But I couldn't do it by myself. Jesus chose 12 to be with him in the resurrection. Isn't that right? And so then God showed me the great supper. What was the supper? He was going to give to me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That great supper at the end time. God's supper itself. Being prepared for those that go into the kingdom of God. That they may eat and be partakers of eternal life and be translated into the kingdom of God. And it had to be served. It was going to take people to help. It was going to take workers to do it. It was going to take workers to do it because those people that was coming was hungry. See, the electricians, the plumbers, not only people, but ministers, preachers. They were going to get tired at the end of the day. And they were going to come in for the supper. See, it's supper time. We sang the song, it's supper time, the shatter's falling. It's supper time. As long as it's daylight, the children will run around and play and have a good time. But let the shatters begin to fall, and all of a sudden they won't hit the mom and daddy. Isn't that right? The shatters of life will begin to fall. The demons are falling around people. Evil spirits of insanity and cancer and TV. All of these evil powers beginning to envelop the people, and they're getting afraid. And they're looking for mommy and daddy. They're wanting to come in. Get out of the shadows. The darkness is falling. Gross darkness shall cover the people. They're looking for that house where there's a few parents that have stood by. The parents laying up for the children. It's laid up for the children. So when the darkness comes, they'll have a house to come in. They'll have a peace place to lay down in peace. They'll have food to eat. You understand what I'm saying? The shadows are falling all around. Hallelujah. God's calling us in. God's calling us in. At that midnight cry, they all were asleep. And then all of a sudden the cry came for them to wake up. And he said, arise and trim your lamps. Arise. See, you've got a little time. I'm telling you that the midnight is here. Arise and trim your lamps. You've got just a little time. Behold, the bridegroom's at the door. He cometh. Arise and trim your lamps. Check up and see if you've got the oil. Check up and see if you're really living holy. Check up and see if you've got the Holy Spirit in your life. I say this again. Paul said, I serve God, the Spirit of holiness, with my spirit. And the Bible said that God is the Spirit of holiness. And the angel speaking back there when John prophesied, he said, God said that we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Have you got the Spirit of holiness? If you don't have the Spirit of holiness, you don't have God. Even the papacy of Rome knows that the Spirit of holiness is God. That's why they call the Pope His Holiness, which is a lie. But God is His holiness. God is the Spirit of holiness. What we need in the church today is holiness. Not more programs, but holiness. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's why that I'm in here in Orlando, Florida, doing my little bit today, to declare that what we need is holiness. We need the Spirit of holiness. Without holiness, no man is going to see God, because God is the Spirit of holiness. Somebody would say, well, holiness don't have to do with dressing. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word of holiness. It was His holiness, God the holiness. And the holiness said, dress as becometh godliness. Come on. Is that right? Have brotherly love. Come on. Add virtue to your faith. Somebody said, I believe. I've got faith. A lot of these evangelists, that's all they ever talk about is faith. They preach faith this and faith that. And you know why they preach faith like that? So you'll have faith to give them all you got and go home without a dollar in your pocket. That's why they're preaching, to get your faith up enough to get your pocketbook. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking about something I don't know. I know I didn't been out there with them. Now, but I know one thing. There's some good ones in the land too. Hallelujah. There are not many of them, but there's some good ones in the land. But you know what they believe in is holiness. Somebody would say, well, I wonder how I'll know them good ones when they come. If they live holy, they're holy. The Bible said, he that's holy is holy, even he's holy. If they're righteous, they're righteous, even he's righteous. But when they come to town and they don't live holy and talk holy and teach holiness, you better leave them alone. You better leave them alone, because you're in for trouble. Did you know the Assemblies of God used to teach holiness? The Assemblies of God believed in old time holiness, and God was in the church working. Did you know the Church of God used to believe in holiness, and God was in the church working? Come on now. Did you know that the Pentecostal holiness in the UPC used to preach holiness? No wonder Oral Roberts left the Pentecostal holiness. He knew they'd done quit preaching holiness. When he went into the Methodist church, what was the difference? They all were acting like anyway. What difference did it make? Come on. Years ago, he wouldn't have dared to do a thing like that, because there was a definite difference between those churches. But folks, we are learning one thing, and that is holiness or hell. That's the way it's got to be. I've got to preach holiness or God will send me to hell. I've got to preach holiness, and you've got to live holiness, or God will send you to hell. You understand what I'm saying? Old-time Holy Ghost living. Brotherly love. Amen. Virtue. Faith. Temperance. Patience. Endurance. Perseverance. Isn't that right? Living holy. Living holy. God has given us all things that pertain unto life. But the only way to get them is through holiness. Come on. God has given us all things that pertain unto life, but the only way to get them is through holiness. Why? Because God is the only source of life, and He's the Spirit of holiness. If you want all things that pertain unto life, you've got to be holy. Is that right? How do you believe God's holy? We've got to be holy. You say, but man can't be holy. But in the book of Revelation, when God goes to reward the church, He said, and now is the hour. The voice cried out saying, now is the hour to reward God's holy apostles and prophets. Sure, they're holy. Noah was a holy man. Job was a holy man. And the saints of God today are holy. Sure, said, in that day very few trees shall be left in my forest, God said. I'll cut them all down but a few, like I did in the days of Gideon. But He said, those that are left shall be called holy. Is that right? The trees that are left shall be called holy. Ain't going to be no big church move in the last day. Somebody said, I'm waiting for that great revival. I tell you what you better do. You better get your mind on the Holy Ghost, and get your mind on the Word of God, and get your mind on consecration to God. Because the Bible said wicked men are going to wax worse and worse, and things are going to be worse than all they've ever been. You understand? They'll be worse than they've ever been in the history of the world, just before the coming of Jesus. You understand? All of them will be that way. All of them will be that way. The foolish virgins, the wise virgins, all of them were asleep. Where is the light? That's the only way gross darkness could cover the people. How else can gross darkness cover the people if some of the virgins is carrying a light? See, it couldn't be gross darkness, could it? It might be some darkness, but the Bible said gross darkness. See, it couldn't be that way. That means the church light's got to be out at that hour. Everything's got to be out at that hour. All of them were asleep. Hallelujah. But at the midnight cry, the voice said, arise, trim your lamps. Come on, the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom's coming. What is the bridegroom? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, you won't be able to get a hold of that. Some of you I know. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, awake and trim your lamps. Behold, the bridegroom's at the door. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Wake up, for the hour is here for you to trim your lamps, because God has taken the church into the secret chambers. Somebody would say, well, bless God, I don't see nothing happening. But the Bible said, two in the bed, one taken and one left. Somebody said, well, that was because the other one was asleep and didn't know what was happening. But the Bible said, two in the field, one taken and one left. Come on. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? Then what time of day is it? What time of night is it? If it's daylight over here at one time and night over there, and then daylight over there and night over here, what time is that coming? Is that 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or what time is it coming? Somebody said, well, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, it might be a different time over on the other side of the globe. Come on now. If you're going to be natural-minded about it, what time is God coming back into this world? He comes back at 5 o'clock over here. It may be 10 o'clock over there. Come on. Is that right? Is that right? If he's coming back, there must be something else to it that we haven't looked at. There must be something else to it. The Bible said every eye shall see him. Everyone shall behold him. But you say, well, two in the bed, one taken, one left. One was asleep. Two at the meal, one taken, one left. That means while you're sleeping over here, they may be digging potatoes over yonder. They may be grinding at the meal over yonder. You understand what I'm saying? That means that the coming of Christ must be a universal thing everywhere. And if it's a universal thing, that means that God, the Spirit, must be the one that's going to return. A man in a natural body couldn't be all over the world. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, if he's high enough in the heavens and everybody could see him, if that's true, why doesn't everybody see the sun at the same time? It's 93 million miles away. Come on. See, the devil would love to get out, wouldn't he? He'd love to find a loophole, wouldn't he? But brother, there's one thing about it. The Bible said the saints of God shall inherit the kingdom, as I said last night. And not only that, the Bible tells us that the darkness comprehended not the light, but that we comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths of all of these things. It must be a revelation from God. Christ, the quickening spirit. Does that agree with the word? The Bible said Christ shall suddenly return within his saints, within his temple, to be glorified within his saints. I'll make all the world come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Is that right? Hallelujah. Somebody said everybody's going to see him. How can that be? The Bible said at the coming of the Lord, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years was finished. Is that right? The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years was finished. How is it, if it's going to be a natural thing the way that you feel, how is it that those dead, those other dead there, is going to see him? The Bible said the rest of the dead live not. Somebody said, well, they wake up long enough to see him. That's not in accordance with the Bible. The dead don't wake up long enough to see nothing. Is that right? The Bible said the dead know not anything. And the Bible said the dead live not again till the 1,000 years was finished. So then there must be something spiritual that God is doing. There must be a revelation somewhere that the church needs to know. That's why Paul said, pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. That's why God wanted you to have the spirit of revelation, my friend. It's because he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But Thessalonians, the coming of the Lord Jesus, we shall all be changed. What is it? A revelation, Paul said. I got a lady, she's sitting here on my right side over here. And she's scrutinizing me and she said, he really thinks he knows something. Better than that, lady. It's better than that. I don't just think I know something. The Bible said we know that we pass from death into life. I know that I pass from death into life, not thinking a thing about it, not trying to figure anything out about it. But we have passed from death into life. We know that. We've got a knowledge from God. See, it's not a guess. That kind of shook her up a little bit. That's not a guess. See, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know your trouble? When I prayed for you the other night, I saw your trouble. You need to line up with God. That's what you need to do. When I laid my hands on you the other night, I saw that. If you'd line up with God, you wouldn't even be in that old carnal-minded cemetery with God. You wouldn't be having that problem. That's what I'm talking about right now. At the midnight cry, they that were ready with him with God. See, you're not ready. You're religious, but not ready. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me now.